Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. And now, senores y señores del Brasil and UFC fans watching around the world, live from the sold-out HSBC Arena in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. It's time!
Welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And All-Star Weekend's over. The last stretch of the NBA season coming up. Well, I got a lot of NBA talk tonight. Finally talk a little bit about Blake Griffin, I think. Finally get to him. So I know we've been saying that the last couple weeks, but it appears tonight.
I'm sure there are hundreds of people just dying to hear us talk about Blake Griffin.
Hundreds? What do you mean? Thousands?
Okay, maybe not hundreds. Why stop there?
No, but
I don't know.
Did you catch any of the All-Star break this weekend?
Yeah, I paid attention here and there. A lot of excitement in the late rounds of the three-point and the dunk contest, definitely. That was cool. And then apparently in the All-Star game, we just decided to not play defense even more. So a good job by all, I guess.
Yeah, I had a bunch of records in there, and it was a little weird. I know we'll talk about that in a minute, but I'm not sure if it's such a bad thing doing it that way. And I guess we should get started here.
No, yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right, where to begin? Three-point competition, I guess.
Well, do you want to talk a little bit about that skills competition? I don't know if you saw it, but it was actually
pretty
exciting.
Yeah, I didn't really catch any.
Yeah,
well, go ahead.
Surprisingly, well, they changed the format this year, which they seem to change the format every year to things like this. But I really liked what they did. They went to a big man versus little man type thing, a tournament round where the big men faced each other and then the little men faced each other. And when they got to the final, it was the big man versus the little man. And it was Carl Anthony Towns against Isaiah Thomas. And it came down to the three-pointer, and Carl Anthony Towns won it. And it was actually really exciting there in the final. To begin with, I think they need to change a couple rules because there are a couple times where the guys lost the ball, didn't hit the pass, and it didn't really affect them, and they went on to win anyway. And I think the point of the skills competition is to be able to do it all. But other than that, I really enjoyed it, and I like that new format that they have.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. They've definitely been kind of tinkering with things. They're certainly doing a better job of with it than the NFL. I know I still don't want to watch the Pro Bowl, but I do find myself checking in on NBA All-Star Weekend more than most All-Star games.
Yeah, it was a fun-filled weekend. Friday, we had the Rising Stars Challenge, which no defense was played there, 157 to 154. The USA team beat the world team. And actually, Zach LaVine won MVP. I think he was one of four players to score at least 30 points in the game, if that gives you a sign of anything that was going on in that game. But he really showed a lot. I don't really know how far those games go towards helping one's career, but he definitely proved that he has a bright future. And you know, I've been since the couple years ago. I still think that he has a real shot at being a star in the league in the future, and I know we'll talk a little bit about him later as well.
Yeah, no, I remember you always sending me tweets and links to Vines and stuff of him just doing ridiculous stuff, and you had a good feeling about him early on, and he's definitely impressed in his short time in the league, definitely. And yeah, we'll talk about it later, but he's something else athletically.
Yeah, and I think one of the big things that gets overlooked is the way he shoots the ball. He still doesn't take the best shots at times. Kind of has that Kobe mentality. But I think that comes with age and experience, and he's still 20 years old, and I think he has a real shot of playing on Sundays.
Playing on Sundays?
The Sunday All-Star.
In the All-Star game. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. I was like,
in the NFL.
Sports?
That
was weird. Yeah, hey, I mean, with his ball skills, he could play receiver or corner.
This is true. This is very true. But I think he picked the right sport.
Oh, definitely. Well, all right. Anything else you got? Did you any notes you got from the celebrity game?
I actually did not catch the celebrity game. I saw that some guy from some band won the MVP. And,
the lead singer of I can't remember now. Of course, I can't remember now. I know the band. It's not a bad band, but yeah, he was definitely, I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah. I thought the funniest part was the interview at the end when he started going off in politics and, Sage Steele, kind of just pulled the mic back
down.
And was like, we're talking about basketball and not politics. And, just shut him down quickly.
Even in Canada.
But
all right.
Much
well,
so let's get into this 3-point competition.
All right. A lot of good shooters. A lot of young guys too. But of course, it was Steph's competition to lose after winning last year. And but he almost didn't make it out of that first round. It's kind of tight in there. A lot of guys I think had 20. Harden, Redick, and Booker all had to go to that shoot-off, and Steph just snuck in there at the end, making his last shot to advance. And then, what were you liking about that?
Yeah, he did. He needed, I think, 4 out of the last 6 shots, Moneyball, to advance, and he got it. And he hit that last one as the time went off the clock and got 21 points to get into the final round, which just kind of shows his clutchness and the way he's been able to do, and that's hit the big shot at the right time, even if he's not on. And it's kind of weird to say he scored 21 points and we didn't consider him to be on his game. So
right,
that just goes to show how far he has come.
It's also kind of ironic with that, needing a few shots to finish it off when that's actually kind of what did him in the end, with Clay going last. But, yeah, Devin Booker ended up winning that shoot-off with James Harden and J.J. Redick and went to the final round with Clay and Steph, but was only able to get 16 and – Steph had the 23, and Klay Thompson cleared out that final rack pretty impressively to take that crown. Pretty insane the way they shoot the ball.
Yeah, you just have to think what the other guys are thinking. Just it was between them, and they're all the same team. I mean, it's the same thing that happened last year, stepping up with 27 to beat Clay in the finals, and Clay returned the favor this year. And it was, yeah, kind of scary for the other teams to just think about and having to guard shooters like that, because it's not great. However, Kevin Hart beat Draymond Green in their three-point shootout. I don't care what anyone says. He got that last shot off, and he sunk it, and he beat Draymond Green.
All right, well, good for him. Kevin Hart can, I'm sure he'll try and hold that and tell anybody who'll listen for the rest of forever.
yeah, it was pretty impressive.
This is going to be a historic Warriors team.
yeah.
Hey, you remember Draymond? Remember that All-Star game?
it was something. I couldn't believe that he was hitting them from NBA range like it was nothing. So he actually almost
he's
got
to like practice
guys in the competition.
He's got to be like getting ready.
Right. Yeah.
He might play, you know, like normally, but he had to be you know, getting a little gym sessions in before he got in there.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because he was hitting him. He was hitting him, man. Didn't look good to start.
But,
he was barely hitting the rim. So that's enough talking about Kevin Hart in a 3-point competition, though.
Right. But no, yeah, Clay and Steph, first guys ever to be on the same team and win the 3-point contest in consecutive seasons. Ridiculous. Anything else you got to add to that?
No, pretty much Clay was on fire on that last track. And one thing about the little shoot-off between Harden, Redick, and Booker there at the end is still don't get why James Harden put his all Moneyball rack on his third rack when he only had 30 seconds. He didn't get to shoot all of his Moneyballs. I think if he would have moved him over, he would have possibly been the one to move on. But it is what it is on that, I guess.
The score for those ended up being, I think it was 10-9-8. So if he makes two more, they go to another shoot-off or whatever. So it's one way or the other, you know, you make more shots, I guess. But anyway, let's move on to the dunk contest, which, as far as Will Barton and Andre Drummond were concerned, was not very exciting. however, the other two guys put on quite a show. And you're gone. Awesome. Well, Eric has dropped, so that's why he's not talking anymore. Maybe he'll get back on here in a second, but yeah, here we go.
Yeah, I'm back.
Hey.
T-Mobile, I guess, just dropped my call, but it's whatever.
Yeah,
I'm back.
You dropped.
So.
I only talked for like 10 or 15 seconds without to nobody, so.
it happens, but back now, so. Move on. Let's move on from the 3-point competition. Obviously, T-Mobile doesn't
right.
want me talking about this 3-point competition anymore. So let's get to this dunk contest. Did you catch any of it? I'm sure you've seen some highlights, though, if you didn't.
Oh, no, yeah. I've pretty much seen all the dunks now. It's just ridiculous, the stuff that they were doing, and just back and forth. Ugh.
Yeah, a little bit about what Andre Drummond could bring to the competition. Didn't really bring much. Him or Will Barton. I think the thing
he brought
with that
Steve
is
Nash
yeah, Will
to the competition.
Barton, he did bring Steve Nash, and it took forever for Steve Nash to get down his path. but
yep.
he it obviously was it was between Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon the whole time. Will Barton just he can fly, but he just couldn't put the dunks down. I mean, he had a couple that clanked and couldn't get them down. I think that's what was most impressive about Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine is I think both of them only missed one dunk the whole time. All the other ones, first try, they got to go down. And yeah, they really put on a show. It was one of the best shows I've seen in a very long time. I mean, I wasn't alive to see the Michael Jordan-Dominique Wilkins showdown. I vaguely remember the Vince Carter-Tracy McGrady showdown. I do remember all the dunks Vince Carter did because, of course, you can just look at any highlight reel and see those. But yeah, that is definitely the best dunk competition I've probably seen in my lifetime between two guys. There's been great individual performances before, but two guys to be able to do that, I think they went to two dunk-offs. And honestly, I think they should have kept going. I think both of those last dunks deserve 50s, and I think we should have seen a third dunk off, or both of them should have got the trophy.
Yeah, no, once they got going, just trading back and forth. Yeah, I don't see how you could have you'd picked a winner even after those fourth dunks. Ultimately, I mean, I feel like the judges just went with LaVine because what he was doing was the degree of difficulty was ended up just being slightly better. I mean, he kept taking off from the free throw line, and not everybody can do that.
Yeah, especially he did a windmill from the free throw line. He did a bounce pass where he took it out of the air with one hand.
An alley-oop from the free throw line and went under his leg. Like, you can't compete with that.
I do think Aaron Gordon had the best dunk of the competition, that one where he was sitting down. That was amazing.
Yes.
I was really
where,
skeptical.
Yeah, went under both of his legs.
Yeah, that was.
And then I really did like the with the mascot spinning on the Segway. That one was fun.
Yeah.
Just the whole like presentation of it, the whole like show, I guess, was really cool. But
yeah,
it was incredible.
I was skeptical at first when he brought him out. I've never really been a big component of the props and the costumes, and still going by Aaron Gordon lost that competition because he wore a costume, but that's another thing. He was just really good. He did the behind the head like Karl Malone used to do, but the way he grabbed that ball off his hand, he just cupped it and did the 360 and brought it around. That was just that was really, really awesome. And I think that everyone won that competition that night. I know they were talking beforehand how the three-point competition should be last and the dunk competition should be before it, but the show those two put on, I think it rejuvenated the dunk contest a little bit.
Oh, no. I mean, it's as prevalent and as dominant as the three-point shot has become. Like, I mean, you can't bring the house down like you can with a great just showing of dunks. I mean, I don't know if I like you said, I wasn't there for Jordan and Neek. Like I don't know what exactly that was like. And then that's another thing is you can't have what we had the other night without those two guys and what they did in that dunk contest back then. We wouldn't have seen so many dunks from the free throw line. We wouldn't have seen ridiculous 360s under the legs, behind the back, all of this just because guys paving the way. But, no, yeah, the slam dunk is always going to be way more exciting than making a shot.
Yeah, most definitely. And I thought one of the biggest factors there was Aaron Gordon was really more about how high he could get, and Zach LaVine was about how far he could jump. And I thought that was really the deciding factor there because I know a lot of people saying LaVine took a step inside the free throw line on a couple of those, but I mean, you jump from there. That's either way. If you've
none of the quote unquote free throw line dunks have been taken have taken off from completely behind the line. I mean, let's be real. And you try doing a dunk under your leg as close to the basket as you can get. Like, get out of here with that. Like, yeah. And I mean, as to what you were saying a second ago, I mean, I felt more like it came down to what Zach LaVine was doing. He just made it look a little bit easier. And that, to me, was more impressive. Just how, I mean, he's not real thick. He's real lanky and hasn't quite filled out yet still. Like you said, 20 years old. But, I mean, his control over his limbs and his body in the air is just insane, and it just makes it look so smooth. It's ugh.
Yeah, and them being able to throw it down on the first try just makes it all the much better. And Zach LaVine has done that the last 2 years. He missed his first dunk this year in the competition where he didn't get it on his first try, but he threw it down the very next time. And that is very telling of a great dunk contest, being able to throw them down on the first try, because once you know what they're going to do, it kind of takes a little bit of the air out of the room, and especially if they have to keep trying over and over and over to get it down. And I think we've seen that for years now, that guys just can't get it thrown down on the first try. And I thought that was the biggest thing there that – I really made that dunk call.
Yeah, and I think that kind of when you miss that first time, it really messes everything up, because now everybody knows what's coming. I mean, and guys get too complicated with it, like Andre Drummond bringing in Steve Nash, like that kick thing. I mean, it's ugh. It's good. Yeah, if it happens, great, amazing, everybody loves it and it's awesome, but it's painful to watch him try over and over and just not get it.
Yeah, and
it's like, okay, move on.
I kind of think Will Barton and Andre Drummond knew they didn't really have a shot, especially after the first dunk that LaVine did, which I thought was the most impressive of the night, the one he threw in the air and went behind the back and over on the other side of the rim to finish it down. That was great. I loved the behind the back dunks, because it takes such great hand-eye coordination. Yeah, and just coming out on the other side of the basket to throw that down, that was phenomenal.
Definitely. I don't know.
I also like
Will Barton had to be a little confident to come out to Thriller.
Yeah, I'm so over the gimmick costumes. And
yeah, me too. Dwight Howard, another thing Dwight Howard ruined.
Yeah, basically the only one that I really liked and remember was Paul George in the glow-in-the-dark jersey. That was probably my favorite one that I've ever seen where there was a gimmick. What I really like about LaVine, he doesn't need props. He doesn't need anything to jump over. He just goes out and he does it. And it's really reminiscent of old dunk contests where you're just seeing them do dunks that are dunks that you could possibly do, not in a game, but just, you know, just come out and pick it up and dunk. You don't need a prop. You don't need costumes. You don't need to get the fans like that, because what you're about to do is excited enough.
Oh yeah, and I like you said, I think it was that first one LaVine did in that dunk off where he went from the baseline and finished with the two hand reverse. That one was I thought that one was also just ridiculous. I mean, you can't just not supposed to be able to do things like that.
Yeah, and he had to duck, or he was going to smack his head on the rim.
Right, yeah, he almost. His momentum almost carried him too far. It was, but, yeah, he's incredible.
Yeah, he can surely jump out of the gym. So, It'll be interesting to see if he comes back next year, if he used all his dunks this year, having to do the dunk-offs. I know we'll definitely see Aaron Gordon
I think he should go for it because he was the first guy to go back-to-back since Nate Robinson, and he's only the fourth guy ever to do it, and nobody's gone three in a row.
Yeah, speaking of Nate Robinson, I think he was one of the reasons why the dunk contest got so watered down is he won it four times and probably shouldn't have. But, yeah, that's it's another reason why I think.
Yeah, it was kind of a slow time for that.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, people, they just kind of, let's just keep throwing him out there because he's kind of small.
Yep, and I also think that guys that have potential future stardom, the ability to be a future star, I think that helps out a lot because I think LaVine and Gordon can be really good in this league. Like I said, I definitely think LaVine is going to be a future star, but not sure about Aaron Gordon, but he definitely has the potential to be a really good player, and I think that matters a lot. I mean, you knew that Nate Robinson was never going to – I mean, he wasn't going to be a star player in the league or anything like that. And when you have guys in the competition like that, you kind of want to follow him after that, but you couldn't really follow Nate Robinson after that. I mean, he just pretty much sat on the bench for every team he played beyond that
point.
Yeah,
his ceiling was slam dunk champion. Yeah, where these other guys definitely have places to go, and this definitely helps to expand, expand their fan base and their exposure.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be fun to watch in the future, and I don't think that you need stars in this competition. I just think you need guys that could be potential stars to be in this competition, and because we look back on this in 5 years and say Zach LaVine's playing on in the All-Star game by that time. We'll look back on it and we'll remember him as the dunk champion as a star, not as he was just a guy that won a dunk contest and he's the eighth man off the bench for a team.
Yeah, like he's – or he ends up being like Jason Richardson or something.
Yeah, well, Jay Rich had a couple good years there, but yeah, he was never
slam dunk champion Jason Richardson.
Yeah, I think he won it twice. I don't remember.
He won it twice at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should probably get to this,
that's about enough of that. Let's.
Yeah.
Yeah. All-Star game.
Talk about
all right.
All-Star game. No defense. No defense.
It at the door.
Yeah, most definitely. Do you want to take a guess on how many three-point attempts went up in this game?
Oh, I thought about writing down all the three-point stats, but didn't. So I guess I'm gonna have to take a guess. I know Paul George alone took like 14. So I'm going to say like
55.
139. Oh my God.
Between the West took 80 and the East took 59 three-pointers. You said that Paul George took 19 three-pointers and
19.
Russell Westbrook took 17. He was eventually the All-Star Game MVP, first guy to win it back. And, it was something else to watch. I don't think I've quite seen an All-Star Game like that. I think that most of the time we do see some defense here and there, but there was no defense to be played in this one.
Yeah, I mean, it usually seemed like you'd get, at least for a little while, you'd get, you know, some guys, like, matching up, like, oh, you know, we're going to play a little, like, kind of pseudo one-on-one, like, we're just going to ISO and do a little one-on-one and see what happens, and, you know, a lot of times you'll get... just a lot of shooting.
I know I picked Kobe to get the MVP. I said he'd get 30-plus points, but he was very passive in the game. I thought that possibly they'd try and get him the MVP, but he, when they did throw it to him, he ended up with 7 assists. I don't think he shot, 5 of 11, I think, 5 of 11 from the field, 4 of 11. And I think he didn't want to shoot 5 of 23 or some. I heard that on the radio earlier, and I made a great point, and I do think that he didn't want to come out and just shoot horribly, and so he was being passive, and he wanted another guy to get it because he knew, I think he knows that his time is over, and he just wanted to be there and be an all-star for one last time, and that's what he did.
Yeah, he just seemed like he was just kind of, there, hanging out, just being in the moment, not really taking it too seriously, kind of sinking it in, which is good. I mean, he had the 10 points, and they made it, they had a nice warm reception for him. There's like a pregame video and all that. They definitely made it about him and his last game, his last All-Star game, and it's a decent send-off. Like, I agree with you said with what you said. I mean, he probably didn't want to, just throw up a bunch of bricks, so he kept it light and passed it off a lot. But I mean, good for him. This is basically his last big moment nationally, I guess. Since they're not playing in the playoffs, so. This is kind of it.
30 games left in Kobe's career. It's bittersweet. I really like the way they've been able to just kind of send him off like this, but it's going to be really weird not seeing number 24 out on the court anymore. But I think the NBA is in good hands with Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, LeBron, and all the other up-and-coming stars. And I definitely think that the NBA is in good shape, and not like when Michael Jordan left, they were kind of out of superstars there for a while. I mean, Kobe was just getting in the league. Tim Duncan was just getting in the league. Shaq had been there for a while, but I guess only a couple seasons. But it was it's definitely going to be an easier transition, I think, this time for the NBA.
Yeah, the future is definitely bright. A lot of young talent, a lot of possibility for Hall of Fame players. It's going to be a fun next few years, but Kobe's definitely was one of a kind, probably top 5 all time, maybe top 3 if you really want to argue it, which you probably would, but that's probably a discussion for another day.
No, I don't think he's a top 3 player of all time. Definitely a top 3 shooting guard. I think he's the second best shooting guard to ever play in the league. But he's a top 10 player. A lot of guys in there. I think we can kind of live in the moment. A lot of guys that I haven't seen play, but guys that I remember seeing play. Yeah, he's the greatest player that I've seen play in my lifetime. Just because I can only go by what I've seen. But, I mean, you know there's players out there that were great, and no taking away from them for sure.
We've definitely seen the second highest point total in an NBA game.
Yeah, that's one thing that Kobe will ever always be remembered for, that 81 point game. Don't think we'll ever see anything like it. I know Wilt scored 100, which is great too, but for a guard to do that,
but
just,
the game was almost unfair when he was playing it.
and they
had a clear advantage.
They wanted him
right
to get 100
points
as well, so
they made it happen.
So let's get into these trade rumors here. We don't have much time.
How did the picks shake out?
Well, our upset pick, we both picked Indiana over Iowa. That ended
right
up happening. I ended up going 3-2. You were 4-1. So you're 17-12, 3-2 in your upsets. I'm 13-16 and 3-2 in my upsets. So Yeah, I'm 4 games back and got some catching up to do again. So we'll make this happen.
Yeah, no, it's still fairly close.
Yeah, I mean, just can't let get out to a big lead or it's going to be over quickly.
All right. Well, let's move into these rumors since we got trade deadline coming up.
I guess we'll just talk about the big names here. I know a couple of smaller trades happened today and are going to happen over the next couple days. But a couple big names out there. Carmelo, I'm going to kind of just say he's not going anywhere. He has a trade clause, no trade clause in his contract, and he doesn't want to leave New York. And so that's not going to happen. But a couple names that are intriguing are Blake Griffin, Kevin Love, and Dwight Howard and Hassan Whiteside. I guess we could start with the Kevin Love trades. I don't really see anything happening here because the Cavs are expecting a star player in return. I don't think anyone's going to offer them a star player for Kevin Love. And any team that does have a star player they could offer are probably in good shape right now and don't need to make that trade unless somehow they could make that trade with Atlanta and get Al Horford in return. That wouldn't be a bad situation for the Cavs, but I don't see that happening because I think if the Hawks were to trade Al Horford or Jeff Teague or any of those guys, they're kind of going to start a rebuild. I don't think it's going to be a just clear everyone out and build from the bottom, but I definitely don't see that one happening. I know the Celtics really need a guy, a star guy. They have a bunch of assets to trade, but they don't really have that guy that they can trade that a team's really coveting. But Dwight Howard, I do think we will possibly see him on another Thursday. There were talks with the Heat, Hassan Whiteside for Dwight Howard. Don't really know how much that affects teams, both teams, but sometimes that's all it takes is just a little shakeup and a little chemistry change. And can turn a team around, which both teams kind of need a little uplifting now. And it's some really sad news again coming out for the Heat that Chris Bosh possibly has another blood clot and could possibly miss the rest of the season. This happened at the same exact time last year. And it would be really devastating to the Heat and Chris Bosh. And I just hope Chris Bosh recovers quickly and he's able to come back this season. But yeah, did you have anything about any of those trades there? I know the big one is Blake Griffin, but I figured we could just talk about him in a second.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you were saying earlier that it doesn't look like Blake Griffin's going to get moved. At least that's not what Doc Rivers is saying. I don't feel like anybody's gonna impress the Clippers enough. Dwight Howard, I can see moving just because, he's done it before, and although aging, he's still got enough left defensively and just as a big man to be effective and to help a team. So if somebody wants to get him, I think it could happen. Kevin Love, I think that the Cavs should get rid of him. obviously it's not. It's for whatever reason, if it's LeBron or if it's just whatever it is, it's not working. But yeah, they need to try something different. Another name, and actually for that, this is crazy, but I was kind of thinking about it and I was seeing that it was a possibility that New Orleans was considering moving Ryan Anderson. What if Cleveland found a way to just switch Kevin Love out for Ryan Anderson? Would that still work with what they're trying to do?
You're not getting better defensively. You're pretty much getting the same player. The only caveat there is Ryan Anderson is not coming to a team expecting to be a star player. So I think maybe he fits into the role a little better and doesn't kind of hang his head when he's not looked at. Seen from Kevin Love. So I do think that would be a good trade for both teams because Kevin Love could also space the floor just like Ryan Anderson does in New Orleans. But New Orleans needs some guard help. And if they found a way to get Jeff Teague, I think that would be their best move if that was possible. But
yeah,
I don't really see that happening.
See, I mean, I was thinking about it strictly from the Cavs. I'm thinking if that's what they want, if they want that type of player, why not just get Ryan Anderson? If he can get along with LeBron, he'll take that third fiddle role anyway. So, I mean, it's why not give that a shot if you can? But yeah, I mean, it doesn't make as much sense for the Pelicans, even with their season kind of being lost. But
yeah, for a team that had really high expectations, it's been a very big disappointment.
Right.
Anthony Davis just needs to be able to stay on the court a little more. He's kind of been getting injured. It's pretty much happened his whole career so far in his first four seasons. He gets these nicks and bumps and has to miss a couple games here and there, and really affects the Pelicans. And now that Tyreke Evans is out for the season, I really think that their season is over with, and they're going to have to take a long, hard look and hopefully get someone good in the draft. And I think that's about the only option they have, because I don't really see a guy going there. But one thing I did see in the All-Star game, if somehow New Orleans could get Chris Paul back, that would be fantastic for them, because, I mean, we could see it'd be just like CP3 to DeAndre Jordan, but, you know, like better, because Anthony Davis can do stuff other than dunk the ball. So
right,
that would be ideal.
It'd be pretty awesome. I mean, and yeah, you'd think with all these talented point guards that New Orleans would be able to eventually acquire one to go with Anthony Davis. But we're starting to run out of time. Do you want to blaze through these picks real quick, or
yeah?
Give a thought about Blake Griffin.
Let's get through these picks. Basically, the only thing I really wanted to say about Blake Griffin is now that Doc Rivers has come out and said that he's not available, there's not really much there. I don't think he'll be traded. I think possibly over the summer. But there were reports yesterday that they offered him and Lance Stephenson to the Nuggets for Jokic, Danilo Gallinari, Will Barton, and another, Kenneth Faried. If I was Nuggets, I would have done that trade if Jusuf Nurkić wasn't a part of it. But if Jokic was a part of it, I don't do that trade.
Yeah, kind of crazy that the Nuggets were the one turning them down. But it's – I don't know how I feel about Blake Griffin right now. All right, Duke-UNC, who you got?
Got UNC winning this one. Duke's been very up and down, and I think North Carolina's head and shoulders better than Duke right now.
I've also got UNC. Oklahoma, West Virginia. I've got Oklahoma.
Go. Yeah, I got Oklahoma too. West Virginia went down to 10 tonight, and I just don't think they have enough offensive power up with Oklahoma.
All right, Warriors, Clippers, gotta go Warriors. They're too hot.
Yep, I'm gonna go Warriors unless the Clippers do make a big trade and somehow get some better depth. But yeah, Warriors all the way.
All right, Cavs, Thunder, I gotta go Cavs.
All right, I'm going the Thunder here. Three teams in the West are better than any team in the East, and I think the Thunder will prove that on Sunday.
All right, it sounds good. What's your upset?
I'm going to go ahead and say you probably did this one, but I have Syracuse beating Louisville on Wednesday night.
I don't. I picked Arizona State over Arizona.
All right.
I think that's also tomorrow night. So, go Devils.
All right, what's your hot take?
I think the Cavs are going to trade Kevin Love, one way or another. I think they're going to get rid of him. What's yours?
I don't think any big names are going to be moved by Thursday. Over the summer.
All right.
Not Thursday.
Wow. All right, well, it looks like we just snuck that in. So.
Yeah, I think we did. So,
thank you for listening.
Yeah, we'll be back on Monday. Kind of had to do a late show this time due to me having to work this morning, but definitely be back.